We're to love the Lord our God and Him alone. We're not to put things in front of Him. I understand. We have to work sometimes. You know there's people working today. Y'all know that? There's people everywhere. They have to work today. Their day off is a little different. We've gotten a little goofy with the Sabbath. We've guilted people because they had to work and said, well, it's the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, for you to take a day off. How many of you have actually done that? I mean, you don't do work. Now, you can get a little crazy as the Jews did. Well, you're disciples. You remember, I think Angela read it the other day. They walked through the field. They grabbed just some of the heads of the wheat, and they rubbed them in their hands like that, and they started picking out the kernels, and they started eating it because they were hungry. And the Jews saw them do this, and they said, your disciples are working. Well, first off, it wasn't their normal work. But Jesus said, who doesn't go out and feed your ox or loosen your ox? That's work. That's something you do every day. So what they did was took something that God created for us to have, to enjoy, and they made it a legal thing. Well, I can't do this. I can help you on any day but Sunday. You know what? If I have to help somebody on Sunday, then that's the day I help them. That's just all there is to that. Now, I'm not saying that if you can make it a change, I think you should. I think church is that important. And I tell you that because I used to do it only out of legalism. I didn't do it out of love. I did it out of legalism. And now that I understand what God meant by us having a Sabbath. You know, I know people, they work all the time. They cannot sit still and enjoy what they've done. They can't enjoy what they did the whole 6 days. I just got to keep working. It's in me to keep working. It's in me to keep working. It's in you to die an early death. Can I put it that way? Your body requires rest. It's not an option. It's a requirement. And if you don't let it rest, you will pay the price. You know, we have troops right now deployed. We have troops that have come back. We've put them in harm's way, put them in places where none of us can really imagine the fear and terror that they have felt and dealt with, or what they have seen and have to deal with every night. And we've said, well, we know that they've got this, so we're going to try to get them out, but yet we keep sending them back year after year after year. We could have ended these wars a long time ago if we actually cared about the people. Are you kidding me? We've got bombs that can blow 500 feet into the ground. Don't tell me that we had to keep sending troops so that they can come back and have nightmares. We kept them there all the time. They never got away from it. That sounds like the Grinch's phone. But God created something when Jesus Christ fulfilled the requirements of the law. He became the sacrifice. The Bible puts it the propitiation. His mercy came and He took our place for that. So having taken our place, He now created something we call the law of love. In that is liberty. In that is freedom. Freedom, ladies and gentlemen, that you do not have to wear something on your head to pray. Freedom that you do not have to not wear earrings or you can't wear makeup. That is religion from man, cut and dry. Well, it's awful worldly. Listen, you driving a car is worldly too. You have an electric is worldly too. So if we're going to get onto that, let's get onto the real things about what is worldly. Well, I'm just saying, Pastor, I just don't really care anymore. Because people keep putting everybody in a box of religion. And when you take religion and you mix it up, it all comes back out to control. God gave Adam and Eve the chance, the choice, Yeah, they made the wrong choice, but guess what? He knew they were going to. He knew everything you were going to do, everything you've ever done, and yet he still sent Jesus. And he said, here, I'm going to send Jesus. You no longer have law to have to live by. I'm going to give you something that should guide you. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is our lead, is our guide. If we will follow that still small voice, that voice isn't going to scream. That voice isn't declaring its own. That's love. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not demand its own. Do you know that God does not demand you love him? God does not demand that you serve him. He makes none of those demands. But back in Paul's day, people started saying, well, and particularly Peter was one of them, who started taking traditions and started making them part of their beliefs now. Peter in particular was teaching that you had to be circumcised. See, when they became circumcised, people thought that they were now holy. What Jesus Christ did was insufficient. And by being insufficient, we still had to keep the law. We still had to make things up in order to keep doing it. Well, I've got to be holy. I've got to be righteous. Well, you're only going to be holy or righteous through Jesus Christ. Other than that, you are a dirty pile of rags. That's all there is to it. You stink to high heaven. And you're ugly. Uglier than these sweaters. But the truth of the matter is, by doing this, God put on us a greater responsibility. It's harder to live by freedom, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 5, I didn't give her any of this, so if she can get them up there, that's great. If not, hope you got your Bible. And for those that can't see it, I see a penguin. I think it's a penguin. She's got a little hood back here. It's a bird of some sort. Snowman. Oh, okay. It's a snowman. Looks like a penguin from here. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Peter's writing to the church. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." What was the yoke of bondage? It was law. It was legalism. Now, I'm just going to deal with the 10, okay? If you want to get into the law, go to Leviticus. Lots and lots and lots of law. Lots and lots of legalism. Some of them were created for different purposes. People didn't understand why you don't do this, why you don't do that. So God had to break it down even further. Today, preachers just don't want to preach about things. They don't want to hit what really matters. They want to make sure that you're given plenty of money and that you can send them on their next mission. That's not what the gospel is about. What the gospel is about is setting people free, helping them to live a more powerful life. I don't know about you, but I am one of those guys. More power is great. I like more power. I had, just a couple months back, I came across a smoking deal on a table saw. My old one was no longer, I could stop it with a twig. Just push it in there and stop the motor. Don't know why, because it was a new motor. 1 horsepower motor. Trying to cut 2x4s, rip them down, just was awful. Because it's dangerous then, because then it likes to bind and throw them back at you. And God led me to an advertisement for a table saw. A $2,800 table saw for $200. I'm like, what's the catch? You know, there's always a catch. By the way, if you're looking for trucks and cars and you see one that's really, really, really nice and it's $1,500, it's a scam. Trust me. So I call the guy, and he says, yeah, I've still got it. He says, you know how many people I've had try to, I ain't had one guy here. And he said, nah, I don't have the time. What happened was the saw was in a building next to a building that somebody burned, set on fire on him. Burned up his $75,000 pulling truck. But the fire department knew he had all these tools in the building next to it, so they sprayed the wall. It got smoke damage. I got a $2,800 table saw for $200. By the way, 3 horsepower. 3 times the power. I have pushed oak 2x4s that have been out of barns for 150 years, and it doesn't stop. More power is good. And if I can have more power in my life, I want more power. I get more power through understanding love, through understanding God's mercy. Why do we have the law? The law was nothing more than a guide. Thou shalt not kill. Well, that's a good thing, right? I don't want to kill my neighbor. I can't say there weren't times in the past that I didn't beat him up in my dreams. I blamed it on the pizza, but I cannot lie. He was annoying. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. I don't want to lie on somebody. I don't want anybody to lie on me. I've had it, but I don't want them going around telling lies. Don't take your neighbor's wife. Hey, that's a good one. Let's not commit adultery. Or covet. Why? Why not covet? Why? Well, I wish I had that shirt. I could have the other day. I saw it at Menards. They actually had a really good selection one day. But if I sit there and all I do is focus on what Josh has instead of what I got, and I'm thankful for the things that I've got, then I'm never going to be able to receive from God. Because I have to be able to grow into each and every gift. Everything that I receive from God, I have to be able to step into, and I have to be able to receive. And I cannot receive it if I'm more worried about, well, his sweater's better than mine. Who cares? Do you know there's churches that cannot do stuff like this? Because it becomes too much about competition. Even if we had had a contest, there'd have been people that had just been so bent out of shape over it. I just wanted you to have fun. I love the personal adornments, lights. But gotta remind Pat to be careful taking that thing off. I saw the pins. They were in there like, ooh, that could be bad. But just like that, folks, people can take something that's meant for good and twist it, make it evil. And if we will take what God meant for good, I don't want my neighbor's wife. I don't want his car. I don't want what my neighbor has. I want what I've got. I want what God wants for me. Who am I to say God may have a Ferrari for me? But if all I'm ever doing is spending my time trying to gain a Ferrari, then I'm going to miss out on the giver. And I'd rather have the giver than a gift when it comes to God. Okay? I'm not out seeking God's hand. I want to seek his face. I want to know him. See, the law took us away from getting to know God. Paul was trying to point out what the law was doing. The law was there to protect us. The law of the speed limit. Drive 55, you can stay alive, right? Wasn't that the slogan? Yeah, we've cut down on so many accidents. There's a lot of people, they don't need to be driving 25. I've seen a few that don't need to be driving. The law of the seatbelt. Personally, I think it's communistic. Personal opinion. That's a personal opinion. Do you know how God gets me to put it on? What about her? What about your children? What about him? Well, if this thing can save my butt in a collision, I'll put it on. I'm not going to be one of these guys that runs around saying, well, you know, God will protect me in that case. I knew a guy that said, oh, God's my provider. I don't need insurance. I got assurance. His trailer burned down. He blamed it on my dad, by the way. My dad never wired another house. Truth of the matter was, it was his wood burner. And when you nail two trailers together, what do you got? A really big firebox. Whoa. So we've got to remember the law was meant for one purpose, to protect us. Just because the law is no longer in play does not mean we need to just go willy-nilly. Paul says, do we sin even more? No. Just because grace is abounding doesn't mean we keep on sinning. We overcome the sin by understanding God's faithfulness and mercy to us. But as Peter got it in his head, well, they got to be circumcised. That's one thing when it's an 8-day-old baby. I've known grown men who have had this surgery done as men, and it took them weeks to recover. Simple. But yet, Peter started preaching it as it's a part of salvation. No, it wasn't. Paul got hold of that. That's why, do you know that's why God had to raise up Paul? Out of all those other people, he had to raise up Paul because Paul understood some things. Paul said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm a Jew of Jews, people. I abide by the law every jot and tittle. And when he got saved, he realized who Jesus Christ was, what Jesus Christ did. He said, the law avails me nothing. But then he goes on down. Let me find my Bible. To verse 7. He said, you ran well. The church, the people, they were up, they were moving, they were doing things, they were growing. He said, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What was the truth? The truth was the revealed truth of the law, that God wanted them to live in liberty. He wanted them to love him because they love him. He wanted us to love our neighbor because we loved them, not because it said I had to. Okay? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It just takes a little bit of yeast, and you can make a big mess. That's what Paul was trying to get through to them. Understand, if you take in a little bit of the garbage, it's going to affect the whole thing. I've talked about this before, and this will be my first reference to food. You make up a big old batch of chocolate chip cookies. I mean, big batch. I like chocolate chip cookies. I don't know about y'all, but if there's chocolate chip cookies, I'm just going to stand there. Might as well give me a cup of coffee or a glass of milk, because I'm going to put a hurting on them. But in this instance, this great big old batch of chocolate chip cookies, I'm going to go find a chihuahua dropping. And I'm going to drop it in the chocolate chip cookies and mix it in. You're not going to know where it's at. But it's in there. Just a little dog poo. Won't hurt you. Is there anybody in their right mind going to eat that? That's why I emphasized right mind. I knew there was one person. He likes chocolate chip cookies that much. He's willing to run to work. And it'll probably be the first cookie you get and maybe the last. But no, right? We're not really going to go eat a dog poo chocolate chip cookie. I'm not. And I'll eat anything that doesn't try to eat me. And if it does try to eat me, I'm going to kill it and then eat it. So Paul's saying, you're taking in a little bit of religion. Well, let's not forget about the philosophies of the world. Paul also started talking about people who thought they were wise in this world. Well, it was Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus said, if you think you're wise in this age, you're a fool. Well, it's different times, Pastor. You know, things are different. Yeah, I realize things are different, but there's certain things that never changed. And therefore, why are we trying to change them? There are things that have been done in the past. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to throw this out there again. I've done it. It's been a while since I've said this, but I want people to understand. Just because it was recorded in the Bible didn't mean it was the will of God. Are we hearing this? It wasn't God orchestrated. It wasn't his will that certain things got done, that people behaved and acted like they did. Before Moses, they didn't have the law. After Moses, they had the law, and they still acted like fools. As a matter of fact, I think they got even more foolish. But the law of liberty, we don't need to be entangled in, well, we don't have a Christmas tree. Listen, I realize that its origins really are pagan, okay? But that's not why it's in this church, because the tree represents eternal life to us. I changed it. There. You all can go out and say, our pastor redeemed Christmas. He changed it. Okay, so maybe I didn't. But there's certain things. You know, I think it's hilarious when people that don't believe in Christ or anything religious put lights on their houses. You do know that's Hanukkah, right? That's the Festival of Lights. It's a Jewish holiday. Oh, it's pretty cool. Run your electric bill up. She's threatening me with lights next year on the porch. After I got my electric bill. It's a promise. There must be a little generator going to be running around the corner. But see, people get caught up and legalism in the church on things. Well, you know, I think the ushers ought to dress like this. They ought to look like this. You know, I think the preacher is usually one they really try to wrangle in. And I'm going to tell you right now, you've got a better chance of herding 10,000 cats than you do wrangling me. So good luck with that. But the reason I believe that, the reason I stand for that is because I understand the law of liberty. I understand that me wearing I took it off just because I think it would be a distraction. Okay, I got to thinking about it, and you know, and the laughter that ensued later really confirmed I need to take this off or I'm not going to get anything serious. Because I was having a hard time taking myself serious. At least this way I look like the Fonz, right? In my mind. When your name is Arthur and Arthur Fonzarelli is the only good character on TV, that's who you look up to. But we live by the law of liberty. And Paul told us not to be entangled again into any kind of garbage that would keep us from understanding our liberty. Give me the liberty. I believe it was Patrick Henry, wasn't it? Give me liberty or give me death. See, here's the problem with today. We don't understand what it was like. We've forgotten. We've allowed people to rewrite, you know, Adam ruins everything. Y'all saw that show? He comes in, throws a little liberal spin on history. To which I will tell Adam, you can still have my gun when you can pry it from my cold dead fingers. That's all there is to it. Because that's what keeps this country free. Well, Pastor, it's not a very Christ-like commandment. Let me show you a little something. When Jesus was about to go to the garden, he said, before I told you, don't take a sword, right? Y'all, does that sound familiar to anybody? He said, now I'm telling you, take one. Peter says, we got two. I have to think about that, man. It's like, Peter, how dumb can you be? Reason he did that is he thought Jesus didn't know. Jesus said, enough of that foolishness. Jesus knew the whole time they had him. People think, I'm going to pull the wool over the leader's eye. When the leader is the Son of God, you ain't getting away with nothing. And I'll tell you why. It's because I've seen what happens in countries where there is no freedom. Christians will not be rounded up like the Jews were during World War II. Because that's what they want. Because you know who owns most of the guns in this country? People of the Christian faith. Doesn't matter what denomination, they claim Christianity. They don't want you to be free. We have to protect the freedom of what Jesus Christ did with just as much ferocity. I'm not going to let people come in here and say, well, you know, you need to be, this church needs to have prayer shawls. Hogwash. I don't need a prayer shawl, and I don't need to wear one. I don't need a ram's horn. I don't need any of the Judeo practices to be a Christian. I'm not a Jew, and neither should they if they understood what Christ did. But they hold on to, what was it they called it the other day? We watched that show. Culture. Culture. It's our culture. No. It's religion, cut and dry. And what you're practicing says, God, I don't believe you hear me. So I have to have this horn so that you can hear me. I believe Jesus told a parable of a man who's on the corner shouting hallelujahs and, Lord, I thank you that I tithe and I'm not like this heathen over here to my right. And the man to his right was beating his chest saying, God, forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I promise you, God heard that guy and he will be justified. But because we think, you know, we got churches today. I like things loud. Y'all know that. Motorcycles, trucks, cars, music. And unfortunately, they have tested my hearing and it is absolutely perfect, except a slight ringing most of the time. I have no idea where that came from. But right now, I'm blaming it on the quarter sticks of dynamite they set off 15 feet from my head. That had a lot to do with it. But just because we think that it's freedom to run and dance and shout and play really loud, if we get into a position where that's what we do because that's all we are, we've missed the point of liberty. You know, I've been listening to some on my Pandora stations, I picked up some old groups that I'd heard, you know, listened to when I was a kid, and I was like, man, I'd like to hear something. And so I start playing. Well, they start mixing in different songs, and there's a guy named Phil Keggy. Some of you know who he is? I always heard how awesome of a guitar player he was, or maybe he is. I think he's still alive. I don't know. But when I was a teenager, you didn't listen to Phil Keggy. That's just all there was to it. He's not a rocker. He plays classical guitar. You know, I love listening to classical guitar. There are times when Jesse's playing upstairs. I mute the TV or pause the TV and listen. Because I love to hear the music. For me, most of the time, you could have a song without words. Sometimes words just ruin a good song. But something changed. One, I matured. There was nothing wrong with his music back then. And I've listened to some of it, and I'm like, man, that is beautiful. But neither can I say, well, you know, God's not into the fast stuff. We got to go back into all this. No, God's in it all. Who do you think created music? It wasn't Lucifer. He didn't create a thing. He perverted it. God's whole rap has its place. It's not my favorite style, but there are some good rap songs. And I don't care who you are, it's sometimes hard to not do this. You just can't help but find yourself bouncing. As a matter of fact, I don't remember, the boys might remember, was it Bounce? Who was that, Joshua, do you remember? Come on, bounce. Everybody bounce. Man, we played that video, and I don't even like rap. Or Tapatio. I think it's the same group. Oh, was it? Oh, it was all the same song. Okay, there you go. But that doesn't mean that church is all about rock and roll. Well, no, Pastor, church is about the hymns. No, it's not. Church is about the flavor of each individual church. Fortunately for you guys, I have a wide variety that I like. Some of you would not be here if all I was into was heavy metal. Just saying. Some of you wouldn't be here if all I was into was country. See, I love them both. I always told people, I said, I'm a country boy at heart with a metal head. I like them both. I love classical guitar. But I cannot let legalism come in and say, well, you know, you need to calm it down. Listen, if there's people being ridiculous, I'll calm you down. So keep that in mind. Okay? Law of liberty does not mean you get up and act like a fool and hurt your neighbor. I've been in church services where people were dancing with fake things, swords, and darn near took my head off. I've been snapped with banners that were 12 feet long. When you start hurting people and then you endanger them, and just so you know, it snapped me right here. Let's see. That far from my eye. That hurt, and that would have really done some damage to my eye, and you know what would have been told? Brother, you don't have any faith. Okay, listen there, Jim Jones. I'm not going to drink your Kool-Aid. You need to put the banner down and quit swinging it like that. When our praise and our worship endangers other people, that's a problem. That's why we have to have it a certain level on the temperature. I know some of you say it's too loud. Some of you say, I can't hear. So we have to find the middle of the road because we have to project to the back. Sound man has to be able to hear. They have to be able to hear themselves. And it's never loud enough for me. So, this is a happy medium. But there's a time to be still before the Lord. And there's a time to shout and dance. That's why Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything under heaven. So therefore, we cannot just take our law of liberty and throw it in people's faces. That's what Paul told us. I'll keep reading down through here. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear this judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For those of you that are having a hard time following that, he says, I would even wish that the person who's preaching circumcision would be emasculated. Lorena Bobbitt style. Y'all remember that old situation? That's what Paul just said. Think about it for a minute. That's how angry he really was about somebody who's preaching legalism over law, or legalism over liberty. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty only. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all in the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, we are required to love one another. We're not to use our opportunities. Just because I like heavy metal does not mean that every song in the service has to be a headbanger. I like one every now and then. And you know what? I would wish that we could have actually more instruments, more people doing different things. Because you know what? Everybody gets a little bit bent out of shape. There's some people, we just want a piano. Well, go to a church that just has a piano. We don't want any music. Well, there's a few of them out there still. We don't want drums. Drums is the biggest complaint anybody has. Well, you can't play the drums well quietly. We have tried. He's in a case. That's as quiet as we can get. We don't have any more room on the back of the property to put him in a cage 20 feet away. Okay? He would love that because he would play even harder. I know him. He's like, well, they can't hear me. But we don't use our liberty to hurt somebody else. We don't go against what God's law taught us. Think about other people. If you are pushing your own will, you do not love them. Did you hear me? If you push your own will, you're not loving them. People come and they talk to me about things. I'd say, listen, I hear you on this. If there's something that I see that can be done, that God leads me to do about this, we will do it. Otherwise, I pray, God, this is something, it's in your hands. Because I know how I want to deal with things sometimes. Because I am flesh. And our flesh likes to just go nuts on people. That's what we love to do. Trust me, every last one of you in here, you can say, no, I wouldn't. Oh, but you wait till somebody has pushed your buttons enough. They've sat there. And then finally, you've had it. You become Mount Vesuvius and you destroy everything around you. But I was talking about the praise. I would love to be able to have every instrument have its own line. Something so melodic that the keyboard is playing something, the guitar is playing something, the violin is playing something, other instruments are involved. When you get a full-on band, you have so much flavor. You know, there's a lot of food I like just plain, okay? I'm not a big condiment guy. You can ask my wife. She's like, do you want any of this? I said, no, because I believe the little guy on the Saturday morning cartoons. I said, don't drown your food. Mayo, salt, ketchup, or goop. Right? Because it's no fun to eat what you can't even see. But I like some things plain. But you know what? I've learned more importantly, a little bit more flavoring brings out so much more. A little salt brings out a little bit in the meat. Different flavorings bring out other things. And I've learned to start using them. There are still certain flavors I just can't get past, and so I'm just not going to push it. But we don't use our liberty to harm people, to hurt people. People may not agree with our way of praise and worship. That's their problem. I'm not going to go back in saying, well, I will bring myself under law. If I bring myself under, listen, Paul said something that I kind of disagree with to a point. Let me say, he said, if I find out that my eating meat hurts you, I'll give up eating meat. Right? That's paraphrased, but that's exactly what he said. How about I help you understand why eating meat is not a sin and show you in the Bible, show you in the Word. I'm not going to give it up on my own, but I will not eat it in front of you. I'm not going to be brought into subjection of law because you don't think I should be wearing cowboy boots. What difference does that make? If I was in Texas, that's what everybody wears. Now, I don't have, again, when it's warm, I really don't have a problem with shorts as long as they are not short shorts. Then I'd have to ask you, please go put some pants on. Well, who am I offending? Every woman in here, because their husbands can't take their eyes. Think I'm kidding? I was in a church one time where this gal wore his miniskirt up on stage. I was like, I was a sound man. I got to look at the stage. It was a rough road to hoe. It shouldn't have been allowed to go any further, but it did. We don't do that. If what we're doing is genuinely hurting somebody, well, stop doing it in their presence. And I'm talking about things that are not going to lead you to sin and death and destruction. Okay? I'm never going to tell you to smoke a cigarette. Okay, never. Well, Pastor, you said it won't send me to hell. It won't. Just makes you smell like you've already been there. Right? I can't tell you the number of people who I've in here who have quit smoking and they're like, I didn't know that food tasted like that. That is delicious. Because it affects you. It's not going to send you to hell. But it's not doing your body any good. I watched Forged in Fire last night and they made, smoking tomahawks. They were peace pipes with a tomahawk head, okay? And they told them, they said, these have to work. It has to be fully function weapon. The pipe has to work and it has to hold together. And it said, the first thing up is a smoke test. So the three judges and the one host, they went and they got them, they lit them, and they're over there. The one guy, he's blowing circles. The other three guys, after the second puff, they're just dying. I said, you can tell who doesn't smoke. Because your body is rejecting it. But because nicotine's so addictive, it's hard to quit. I know, I've got lots of people. Man, I am fighting. Some are still fighting. Some have conquered it. But I'm not going to tell you to do that stuff. If you're having a problem with weight, I'm going to tell you to stay away from McDonald's. Right? Well, Pastor, I don't know what my going to McDonald's. Well, let's see. It's extremely high in all carbohydrates. Lots and lots of fats that are not good for you. Well, if I have McDonald's once a month, will that be okay? Probably not going to harm you. Just make sure you're not going to Burger King the other rest of the month. I love fried chicken, but you can't eat fried chicken every day. Just can't do it. Our bodies were not designed to process that. By the way, a salad will not harm you. I know, just make sure you put some chicken on it. Some boiled eggs, some ham, bacon. That's all in the same salad, by the way. All right. I just want you to understand this. Part of the reason of this season, ladies and gentlemen, is for Jesus to set us free from law. We don't do it because of law. We do it because of love. But we need to be careful that we aren't taking our liberties and rubbing them in the face of somebody who does not yet understand. That's why I said I disagree with Paul on that. Is I would rather help you to understand your freedom. I know there's people that are offended because I said you can have my guns. Right? There's people who are going to get offended, especially in the church. Well, you don't love your family. I said, I don't think you understand. That's why they won't get them. Okay? We don't know what it was like prior to 1775. We don't know any of that. We weren't there. We don't know what it was like to not know whether or not a corrupt government was going to send soldiers and you were going to have to foot the bill to keep them in your house and they took whatever they wanted. And there wasn't a thing you could say or do. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. I would rather take the time to sit down with you and help you understand that. And I will also have my history teacher right there to verify. This is what life was like. There's a reason they said, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. You can give me it or you're going to kill me. And I wish I could remember. Preachers have become weenies, by the way, in my opinion. So many of them are just big weenies. They hide behind a robe or something. But what was the name of the pastor? He had just gotten in. This is in 1776. What was it, Bradley? I don't remember his name either now. But he had just rode in that morning. Was he in Philadelphia, maybe? Well, yeah, he had just rode in, just got in that morning to his congregation, got his robe on, and he stood up in front of his congregation and he declared that liberty was coming to the colonies. And then he took off his robe and he was wearing a uniform with a sword. That's the kind of man I can admire. who was willing to say, listen, we're going to fight. Don't you think he had people in his congregation that didn't want to fight? They're all over the place. When I was in Ukraine, the house that hosted me, the owner, the man, the husband, was a communist. You need to understand that. He's loving where he's at because he's in the region that Russia controls. He was all for it. But yet I was entertained in his house as a guest. Everybody, the pastor there knew who he was. He didn't understand freedom. Because, matter of fact, when communism fell, he lost his job. He had a government job. That's what they don't want. They don't want to lose their jobs. I don't want to lose my freedom. Jobs can be created every year, every day. Freedom can never come back if you give it up. That's why we don't let our liberties become somebody else's chain. Sit down and reason. Doesn't the Bible say something like that? Brother, come let us reason. Let's sit down and talk. Okay? This holiday season, don't get bent out of shape because it says Xmas. I'm going to have to verify this again, but the last time I checked, the X is actually the symbol for Christ, but just don't get bent out of shape over it. Because if that's the case, we're Protestant and it's a Catholic holiday. Y'all following me? That's why there's Mass at the end of it. Just saying, we get so bent out of shape over things. Well, the lights, the trees, I mean, all the, oh, for crying out loud, man, I got pine crap hanging all over my house. My ancient ancestors used to do that in Scotland. They were druids. They were pagans. They worshipped sticks and they hung them on their... But we don't hang them up there to worship them. Because if that's the case, well, then we're going to get into the cross. The cross was around for several hundred years before Christ. He wasn't the only one crucified. He was the most important one. But he wasn't the only one. Because while you may not know it, Spartacus was real. It's interesting. Anyhow, let's stand. I could go on and on, but I know you're hungry after I started talking about chocolate chip cookies. Especially Josh. Josh, I will make you a special batch, buddy. We will call it Labrable. Remy will work on a special batch for you. Okay, Vicky, I'll be over to see Chica later. Oh, praise God. Starts backpedaling, we start making it a little bigger pet. Oh, God is good, folks. You have something, sir? Okay. Might as well, and then I'll pray and bless.
Like always, we love you very much. We appreciate the fact that you are watching over us in teaching us and training us and changing us and telling us when we're wrong, when we're right, to do those things. I love you for that, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's a token of our appreciation.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. You know, of all the things that that I've done in my life, I've had a few jobs. This is the only one I never hated. It really is. I ain't saying it's easy by any means. I'm just saying this is the only one I never hated. I hated getting up, go to work. I hated getting on a swing shift. I hated getting moved to this department or that department. I hated getting laid off. I don't think anybody real fond of that one. But I've never hated this one, because the people are what made it different. So thank you very much. And know that, you know, this coming year, I know God's going to do some great things. I feel it in my bones, folks. God has not given me a prophetic word to give you, but I can promise you that if you will trust him and obey him, let me emphasize the obey part. We all say, I can trust you, God, but if you don't obey, oh, God, I trust you to get me across that river. God says, well, start walking. Oh, but God, I trust you to get me across that river. Well, you're not going to walk on the water until you take a step out. And don't step out on the water if he didn't tell you. Just saying. Yeah, sometimes there's a boat. Sometimes the boat's how God's getting you across that river. But anyhow, but again, thank you very much. Shall we pray? And I will dismiss you so you can go have chocolate chip cookies. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that you minister your love to us each and every day, Father, that you're giving us revelations, Father. Now I pray, Father, that you help us to grab hold of those revelations, to trust you in them. Father, help us to love more and to hate less. Father, as a matter of fact, drown out all the hate with more love for people. Father, that we would not desire to harm anybody. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you for these people. Father, I bless them today. Lord God, I know that many of them have much more to do. So, Father, I pray that your blessings and your peace be with them as they go about shopping, whether they go back to work. Father, whether they're on breaks, Lord God, I pray that you minister your peace to them. In Jesus' name, amen.